Friends, welcome back for this lecture on Six Sigma. I told you many specific things about Six Sigma in the first lecture. But in heart, I know what you must be feeling. You must be feeling that what is this Six Sigma? Is it a new fad? What is this? What is new in Six Sigma? We have worked for last 20 years or 25 years doing various things, quality circles, TQM, statistical process control, and so many things we have done. And now you are bringing a new thing, Six Sigma. And what is great in this? What is, why we should do all this? What is special in this? What is new about Six Sigma? What was not there in TQM? Was TQM not the very good thing? Was it not very efficient? Now, why you are bringing Six Sigma? What is new in that? Is it a new fad? I wanted to tell you that it is not a new fad. It is something one plus above the TQM. One plus above all the other earlier things what we have learned. I want to convince you continuously by giving various examples. I want to tell you that this is not something like a new fad. This is something much, much above than what all we have done in last so many years. Six Sigma is a breakthrough strategy for the whole organization. Earlier, it was only for certain departments, certain functional ranges, and so on. Now, it is the breakthrough for the whole organization. That is what I want to explain to you, and I want to convince you. I will consider myself successful only if I am able to convince you that it is not a new fad, but it is something much, much above than all other things what you have learned up till now, and it is a breakthrough strategy. I will be able to convince that. You can tell me whether I was able to convince or not. Evolution of quality improvement plan. You are right that since beginning we have learned so many things. In 1950s, those sampling plans came. Our organization told us that if there is a lot of 10,000, take a sample of 14 parts. If you find one part defective in that, take another 28 parts. Then if you get two more defectives in that, total 3, 1 plus 2, then reject the lot. If you get only one, pass the lot. Sampling plans were developed. We were happy that yes, some simple thing has come and we are able to take a decision. Okay. I don't say that that was bad, but those were the sampling plans. Okay, they were developed. Not that they are bad, but they were developed that time and we were working with that. Then in 1960s, the concept of zero defects came. What was zero defect? Okay, zero defect, even now we are discussing. But that time the concept was, if workers could only dedicate themselves to zero defects, the quality would rise. How the quality will come? How zero defects will be achieved? If workers improve. That means that time we were discussing that if at all defects are produced, they are produced by workers. So if workers dedicate themselves to their work, then defects will become zero. Okay, that was the concept that time. Then 1970s, quality circles came. Yes, we worked in that period also. What quality circles? They say, okay, earlier engineers were telling that you do this, follow the process, this is the process, you have to follow. Then workers started thinking, because we knew that they also have brains, they also have thinking power. So, okay, they can also contribute to the quality. Okay. That was a concept. Not that these concepts were bad, but those were concepts and we were working with those concepts. Sampling plans we were working, zero defects we were working, quality circles we were working, and we were happy. We thought that yes, we are doing a great job. But then what happened? In the 80s, statistical process control came. Then we started putting charts on our machines and asking the our workers to check five parts, sample of five parts, after every tool change or after every interval. Some interval we fixed for that. Let us say tool change. And I asked my worker to check five parts and plot the control chart. And we were happy that we are doing something great. We were monitoring the output of the process. And we were happy with that. American company started preparing their factory walls, papering their factory walls with control charts. Automotive companies such as Ford Motors also spent billions of dollars on control charts. Control charts, we were controlling our output. Okay, that was also not bad. Then in 1980s to 1990s, ISO 9000 came. In 87 it came as a worldwide standard by consortium of 45 countries within the International Standards Organization. We started achieving ISO certification. We were feeling that we are doing something very, very great thing by achieving ISO 9000. Okay, I don't say that is bad, but okay, we were happy that time. Then in next QS 9000, I was manager and management representative of Bosch that time, when first time in the Bosch group, our Indian, my co-company got QS 9000. And I was actually flying in air, considering that I have done the greatest job in my life by achieving QS 9000. Okay, that time I was right also. But then ISO 14000 came. They say that environmental control is also required. So ISO 14000 also is required. So that time we were also happy. Yes, we have got ISO 14000. We have got ISO 9001. We have got QS 9000. We are considering great. Then Six Sigma came. TQM came. We were implementing TQM. While we implemented ISO, we parallelly implemented TQM also. Then, at the end of our career, my career in that company of Bosch, I learned something called Six Sigma. Then I was thinking, is it a new fad? Like TQM was a fad. Is it a new fad? Then I got trained in Indian Statistical Institute of Bangalore. And then I came to know that it is much, much, much better above all that I have learned in my whole of the career in Bosch. It is much above that Six Sigma. So then I started loving that. And just now, what I am telling you is, what I have learned and what I have practiced as a Six Sigma practitioner. Question people ask me is Six Sigma an old wine in the new bottle? It is, people are criticizing. When it was TQM, that time people were criticizing. When it was ISO, people were criticizing. And now people say that what is all this Six Sigma? It is old wine in new bottle. I want to convince you today that this notion is false. I will tell you minimum 6-7 or more than those points where I will prove it to you that this notion that old wine in new bottle, this notion is false. And thereby I want to imbibe in your mind that Six Sigma is no a great new fad or just a old wine in new bottle, but it is a breakthrough strategy which every organization must adopt. Breakthrough strategy for improving all the business processes in the organization. Every organization must adopt if they want to have a sustained growth over next 100 years. they must have Six Sigma as the breakthrough strategy. This is what I want to convince you. So, this notion is false for following reasons. I will tell you many reasons now. First reason is Six Sigma projects are far more structured. They encompass the total organization. They have certain steps D, M, A, I, C. D is define, M is measure, A is analyze, I is innovative improvement, and C is control of the improved process. D, M, A, I, C. It is structured and formatted, much more formatted than projects in most previous quality management processes. Earlier, we were improving a small process on a small machine. Total macro process of the organization, we were never considering. Our customers were not happy, we were never considering. Our profits were declining, we were never considering that. We were improving certain small things, which hardly had a big impact on the company's financials. Today we are going to discuss something which will have a big impact on the company's financials, big impact on customer retention, big impact on employee satisfaction and competence level, and big impact on process capability. This is what I am going to convince to you. The projects what we will be taking, and I will be going in details of that, those projects are much more structured, having big impact on company's financials. Earlier that was not the case. Next, Six Sigma management provides metrics. Everything we measure. What is a metric? Measure, M-E-T-R-I-C. This is the acronym for measure everything that satisfies the customer. Measure everything that results in customer satisfaction. This is the acronym. Measure everything that results in customer satisfaction. Everything we should measure. For example, customer gives a call and I attend that call in 3 rings or 2 rings or 5 rings or 10 rings, or even after 10 rings, I don't attend the call. 3 rings is the metric. I must attend every call in 3 minutes. Whenever I go to the hospital, in the OPD, sometimes I have to wait for 5 minutes. Sometimes I have to wait for 10 minutes. Sometimes 45 minutes. Patient will be very angry if that patient is not feeling well. Sometimes he is serious. And if he has to wait for 45 minutes, 1 hour, he will be very unsatisfied. He will go away from the hospital. He will never come back again. So that is the metric. A doctor should say that patient will not wait for more than 10 minutes, let us say. That is the metric. Everything in the Six Sigma project has a metric, and we must measure everything against that metric. For example, tailor. He must give me my pant back duly checked properly within, let us say, 4 days. Sometimes he gives me in 2 days. Sometimes he gives me in 8 days. Sometimes he gives me in 1 month. The metric is 4 days. Customer is happy if he gets his product in 4 days. That should be the measure, metric. Six Sigma management provides metrics for discussing the quality of processes. Finance, human resources, engineering, service processes can be compared. For example, service. Customers gives you a call, and if you attend his call and go to the customer's place for delivering that service, for example, he has a problem with his engine. You go to him after getting his call. If you go to him in 8 hours time, then he is happy. Then 8 hours is the metrics. It should not happen that sometimes you don't attend his call, sometimes you go to him after 3 days, sometimes you go to him after 8 days, sometimes you don't go to him at all. The metric is, after getting his call, you must attend his call in 8 hours. Every Six Sigma project measures against the metrics. What is your performance against the metrics? And that is the difference in other projects and these projects. Six Sigma is very focused on impacting the bottom line and top line of the organization. Up till now, okay, we were doing some improvements in marketing function. We were doing some improvements in engineering function. We were doing a lot of improvements in production and quality. But we never, at least I have not seen in my whole career of 25 years, what is the bottom line of the top line of the company, whether it is getting impacted because of my work. But every Six Sigma project focuses on bottom line and top line of the organization to see whether it has any impact at all or not. Most other quality management approaches do not have such a clear financial focus. And Six Sigma project, and that's why I say, Six Sigma is not old wine in new bottle. It is something different, much different. Six Sigma is focused on ongoing rapid improvement. Earlier we were doing improvement over some months, years. Here, rapid improvement is required. Because I can't allow my customer to go away from me. I must retain all my customers. My customers' objectives, my customers' needs are ever changing. He is becoming more knowledgeable. And I must satisfy him in this environment, and so rapid improvement. Most other quality management processes are focused on incremental continuous improvement. Six Sigma is not incremental, it is quantum improvement. Please understand this point. Past quality management efforts were initially spurred by quality professionals, consultants, academics, some junior engineers, some senior engineers were there. They were doing a lot of efforts. Not that they were not doing it. We also did a lot of efforts. But Six Sigma is being promoted by executive managers like Jack Welch, like Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric, George Fisher of Motorola. Big people. They are getting involved. Earlier, big people were never getting involved in our projects. We were doing our projects, we were showing some improvements, we were doing our presentations, and we were getting increments and promotions, yes. But we never saw managing directors and owners of the company getting involved in this. This is the major difference. Six Sigma is facilitated by infrastructure of Six Sigma experts. We train the people as black belts, as master black belts, as champions, as yellow belts, green belts. And this training what we give has advanced statistical methods, advanced management principles. We create leaders of our own people. They become leaders and they are able to take higher positions in their future career. We train everybody in a very advanced management principles. We create Six Sigma experts. Earlier, we were not experts. We were generalist people. Okay, we were putting our heart, 24 hours we were working, but we were not, or we were never trained experts in those methods, Six Sigma methods. Today, these are trained experts who are working on the Six Sigma project. That is the big difference again. Okay. This notion is true also for two reasons. Not that it is completely false. Most of the tools, methods and theories were borrowed from the quality management principles of Six Sigma. Six Sigma is more an example of evolutionary management. It is evolving. What is evolving? It is continuously developing. It is coming up, evolving. Evolutionary management than revolutionary management. It is not a revolution like industrial revolution or French revolution. It is not a revolution. It is an evolutionary process. Evolutionary management. And the founders of Six Sigma management stood on the shoulders of the giants like Deming, Juran, Joseph Juran, Kaoru Ishikawa. They taught us. When we were children, Ishikawa taught us the cause and effect diagram. Yes, we learned from him. We learned from Deming. We learned from Juran. Since our young age, we were learning under the principles of Ishikawa, Deming and Juran. Six Sigma principles also are based on what they have told us. Definitely. So, this notion is to some extent true, but to a large extent false. We must understand that Six Sigma is much different, much above the earlier notions, earlier thinking, much above that. It is focusing on customer satisfaction. It is focus on business process capability. And it focuses on the total change over in the organization as far as the culture is concerned. Because people and their culture will create the organization. You put millions of dollars in machines, investing in machines, investing in equipment, investing in buildings. But if you don't have proper people, if you don't have trained people, if you don't have expert people, we can't make breakthrough improvement. Six Sigma goes on with this principle that we must focus on competence of the people. People must be competent. People must be trained. People must be expert. Okay, earlier also training was there. Not that training was not there. We also got a lot of training. But this training of Six Sigma black belts, Six Sigma green belts, master black belts, champions, focuses upon advanced statistical methods, advanced management principles. We almost create a leader from every employee. They become leaders. They become competent persons. So their contribution to the company's improvement is much, much better than earlier. So that is the difference. And so I say that this notion is to some extent true. What nation? Is Six Sigma old wine in new bottle? This is true to some extent, but it is false to a large extent. There are at least 6-7 reasons to say why this notion is false. That's why I want to tell you. Okay, you will say Six Sigma and TQM. If I say TQM has failed and Six Sigma has succeeded, what are the reasons? Why you say Six Sigma is a success and TQM is a failure? Because we were already thinking that TQM, ISO, QS, everything is a big success. So what is that one plus in Six Sigma? I will tell you some reasons for that. Six Sigma succeeded over TQM because Six Sigma organizations are putting process management, process, not functions, process management, process improvement, process measurement into action. process is the key. As a part of daily responsibilities, reinforcing the message that Six Sigma is part of a job. That means it is compulsory, it is mandatory. If you don't do Six Sigma, you are out. Compulsory activity of the industrial life. That was never there in TQA. That was never there in quality circles. Six Sigma now has become the part of the job, part of my salary. Why I am getting salary? Because of Six Sigma. It is part of the job, and that concept has come in Six Sigma, which was never earlier there. Then, passion for and belief in Six Sigma at the very top of the business. I told you this earlier, that earlier top leaders were never so much involved in the business processes as they are in Six Sigma processes. They are 24-hour thinking how to make every business process a defect-free. That kind of concept was never there earlier. I can tell you this because I have worked in industry for a very long time, and I have never seen leaders getting involved to this extent when in Six Sigma process, in Six Sigma management, they are getting involved. Leaders of such companies believe that Six Sigma is synonymous with constant reinvention of the business. If they want to reinvent, because customer expectations are ever increasing, competitors are ever coming, more and more numbers. There is a recession. There is no money in the market. And in all those difficulties, if I want to remain in the business, customers have to come to me only. That competitive advantage should be there in me. Then I must reinvent the business, and for that, Six Sigma is the only thing that people are believing now. A clear goal is the centerpiece of Six Sigma. It is an extremely challenging goal. It is not an incremental improvement. It is not a small improvement. It is a big improvement. That is what is the clear goal, which was never there earlier. And this goal was not reducing rejection to, let us say, some PPM level. Earlier, small projects were there. It is now a project or number of projects which are impacting the bottom line of the company, top line of the company, customers, retention, a clear goal. For example, as I earlier said, I will improve the customer retention by 2%. I will reduce the customer defection by 10%. Like that, a clear goal. If I have 100 customers, all 100 will be with me. Not even one will go away. Earlier, if 10 people are going away regularly, I will reduce that to only one. Maybe, maximum. That is a clear goal, which will impact the bottom line of the company, which will impact the top line of the company. Clear goal. People involved in Six Sigma initiative can see their results grow, and they can equate them to company earnings by focusing on ways to track changes, customer needs and requirements. As I earlier said, a very clear focus on customer is the main thing in Six Sigma. Companies are building a dynamic system or measuring performance based on the latest and most stringent demands of the customer. Latest demands. Customer demands were there earlier also, but their demands are changing. So I am always constantly in touch with the customer, and whatever his changing demands, whatever are his earliest demands, whatever are latest demands, I know the difference between them, and I work on that. Next, while the goal may change over time, the closed loop Six Sigma system will help the organization to adjust. Successful Six Sigma companies see Six Sigma as a tool to eliminate rework. as one scientist has said, we do too much rework, too much replacement, too much warranty cost. We must stop all that. Rework, scrap, rework. We are wasting too much money in that. That is what. And there are a lot of disconnects between people, between departments, between marketing and customer, between purchasing and stores. Lot of disconnects are there, lot of miscommunication is there, lot of rumors are there. We are losing lot of money in that. Just because there is no communication. Just because there are disconnects. Just because people don't speak to each other. People don't see eye to eye. In an organization, you must have seen, many people don't see eye to eye. Lot of loss is there in that. Successful Six Sigma companies see Six Sigma as a tool to eliminate rework just because people don't see eye to eye. Just because people don't communicate with each other. Just because they are disconnected. One of the great opportunities of Six Sigma is to begin afresh. I am never feeling bad if I have to start afresh from today. Start low, all this. Okay, doesn't matter. Up till now, I was not successful. Doesn't matter. I forget all that. I will start afresh today. I will think aloud. I will do lot of loud thinking. Today, I will start. I am not at all nervous that I was a failure till now. I will see how I can move ahead. That is what Six Sigma, with the recognition that both small improvements and major changes are an essential part of the survival and success of 21st century businesses. Doesn't matter. I had 10 customers. Okay, 3 of them have gone away from me. I don't cry about it. I feel bad about it definitely, but I don't keep on crying. I say, okay, let me start today. I will start afresh. And then I will move ahead. I will do some changes in my working style. I will make changes in my culture. But henceforth, no customer will go away from me. I will not cry on my past failures. I will never stop working. I will never stop thinking. I will always move ahead. That is the benefit of Six Sigma culture. Six Sigma companies are setting very demanding standards and learning are backing them up with necessary investments. For example, a suggestion comes that we must make investment in a big grinding machine which is much more capable than all our grinding machines. Top management will never say no to that. If they see the advantage that customer will be more happy, he will give me repeat orders, then I will never be ashamed or I will never fail in doing those investments, even if they are investment worth crore rupees. I am always ready to do fresh improvements if people convince me that this has an advantage as far as the customer is concerned. Necessary investments in time and money to help people meet those standards. If people have come with a suggestion that we must invest in an equipment, I will never say no to them. If they convince me that this machine will give me a better advantage as far as customer is concerned. That is what Six Sigma. Earlier, we were not investing in big machines. We were told to do the improvements in the existing machines only. Suppose we say that a big machine is required, people were saying no, we don't have money. Like that they were telling. They were refusing. In Six Sigma, if suggestions come for investments, the top leaders will get never say no, they will say okay. Six Sigma not only works in service and in transactional processes, but probably offers more opportunities. In service, I will explain to you in a different chapter how not only manufacturing but also service processes get bigger advantage when we go for Six Sigma in them. What are the problems in service processes today? Hardly any people have done any process mapping about the service processes. In Six Sigma, we also map the service processes and we improve the service processes, which in turn gives us the advantage of customer retention. Thank you.